Well, we're in our fifth sermon in our Hallelujah series, the last five Psalms of the Psalter, and I've sort of asked myself this week, what difference has these Psalms made to my life? Four Psalms so far of being told to praise the Lord. We must praise the Lord. So I asked myself, am I praising God more now than I was a month ago? And maybe you can ask yourself the same thing if you've been here through this series. If it's your first time with us, you've got an out. But are you praising God more now than you were a month ago? We've been called to praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Join the mountains, join the angels, join everything in heaven and on earth in praise the Lord. If you like to add our voice to the choir that's already praising the Lord, every man, woman, and child. Am I more captured by God than I was 4 weeks ago? Well, let me say I am captured by God and I am praising God and I am enjoying God and I love God. And I've enjoyed this sermon series. I've enjoyed particularly preaching some of the sermons and hearing John and Graham preach their first sermons from this pulpit. But then I remind myself, actually, sermons aren't meant to be enjoyed. They're not meant to be unenjoyed, but they're meant to change us, aren't they? They're meant to point us to Jesus. They're meant to, make us see our sin and move our eyes from ourselves and to God and have faith in Him, encourage us. And so have I started praising God more than I did a month ago? Now, I'd like to say yes, but I don't think I can. I think I'm still praising God and I'd like to praise Him more. And I've got one last chance at it. And so do you as we look at Psalm 150 together. The book of Psalms has five books in it, and each of the books finishes with a psalm of praise, and the fifth book finishes with five psalms of praise, the Hallelujah Psalms, and the fifth of those is the grand crescendo of the whole orchestra in the call to praise. So we're kind of at the climax of the whole Psalter, the climax of our call to praise Him, one final Hallelujah Psalm that starts and finishes with the word Hallelujah. Now, it's the shortest of all the Psalms, this one, the Hallelujah Psalms, it's dead simple. This is the simplest of all. There's 13 lines. Every single line of the 13 call us to praise the Lord. Okay, so you don't have to work hard to work out what this psalm is about or what it's asking us to do. One last call to praise the Lord. But maybe just a question of this psalm before we look into it. Is the psalmist a little bit naive? 13 lines in a row, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Isn't the psalmist a little bit naive to think that, you always want to be praising God? Like, isn't life full of hard things as well as good things? Pain and loss as well as life and joy? Like, what's the psalmist thinking to just give ourselves to praising God when there's wars, when good people die, and when the enemy wins? Like, what's going on? How can we always praise God? Well, let's just say that the Psalms are very realistic about life. If you look at the whole 150 of them, they're full of deep concern. Where are you, God? What are you doing, God? This hurts, God. Things don't seem to be going my way, God. Save me, God, from my pain. And so the Psalms are very realistic. It's just that the last word is always praise. Whatever's happening in our lives or in our world, we must still praise the Lord. And this is kind of therefore a great summary of all those times that even life's not going well, and even if it's not going well for you today, there's still the call to praise the Lord. Now, yesterday I went to a funeral, I took a wedding, and I preached. It was a big day, and all occasions were so different, but yet in the midst of them, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in a funeral, praise the Lord with loss, praise the Lord with the start of a new marriage, praise the Lord with the gathering of His saints, praise the Lord. Now, 13 lines, we said, in Psalm 150, and they answer four very basic questions about praise. Where must we praise the Lord? What must we praise the Lord for? How must we praise the Lord? and who must praise the Lord. So if you like, the where, the what, the how, and the who of praise. Well, let's start, because the questions are quite easy to answer from the psalm. So the first question is, where must we praise the Lord? Where should we praise him? Verse 1 says, praise the Lord in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. So where should we praise him? In his sanctuary and in his mighty heavens. It's not complicated. The sanctuary being the place that God chose for his name to dwell. The Old Testament people would have recognized this as the temple. This is where they would go with their sacrifices to the priests to praise God and praise him there in his way, but also praise him in the mighty heavens. The place that God dwells, where his angels are and his spirits are, praise him there. So praise him in the heavens, praise him in the earth. I think this is just code for praise God everywhere. Praise him in the heavens, praise him in the earth. Wherever you are, praise God there. In fact, there's nowhere that you could possibly be that you can't praise God. Now, remember Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman, and things were getting a little bit personal in the conversation because Jesus had revealed sin in her life. I don't know what you're like when someone puts their finger on sin in your life, but Jesus was doing that with her, and she tried to change the conversation. She tried to get into a theological argument with Jesus just to take the pressure off. And the question was, where can you worship God? Where is it okay to worship God? Let me just read some of those words from John 4. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. And we live in that time where worshippers live in spirit and in truth. But what does that mean? Well, take it, spirit means that, you know, God's spirit, and no longer is worship at a certain postcode or a certain address, but everywhere. Wherever God is, you can worship him there. You don't have to go to church to worship God. You don't have to go to a temple. Wherever you are, you can worship God because he is everywhere. But worship him in truth, what does that mean? Well, the only way to approach God is the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. All approaching to God must be through Jesus, in spirit and in truth. And so we're called to worship God everywhere, to praise him wherever we are, which means at work, it means at home, it means at church, daytime, nighttime, in your bed, when you're healthy, and when you're sick, in the highs and in the lows, when the coffee is good and when it's not, praise him then. Praise him when our prayers are being answered. Praise him when we're still waiting for God to answer our prayers. Someone told me this week they had learnt how to praise God when they were mopping the floor. They said they just realised that as they mopped the floor, they were just caring for the thing that God had given them. And just to have a house with a floor, that God's provision, that they could praise God for what they had as they cared for that. And I thought, well, that's a great perspective, isn't it? Praise God wherever you are. Now, I take it that you enjoy praising God when you come to church, but praise him during the week as well. Praise is not designated just to the weekend, but also to the Monday and Friday as well, as we gather and then we scatter. So where must we praise the Lord? Everywhere, everywhere. Well, secondly, second verse, for what should we praise God for? What should be the reason for our praise? Verse 2 says, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness. So a twofold answer. For all that God is and for all that he has done. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for who he is, his surpassing greatness. Now, what has God done that is praiseworthy? What's he done that's praiseworthy? Usually when you go to the Psalms are thinking about two great acts of God, his creation and his salvation. So what's God done? He's made everything out of nothing, and it is good, and we enjoy it. He even made you out of nothing, out of dust. He sustains you, and we praise God for his creation, and we praise him for his salvation. Now, the Old Testament people, of course, were thinking about not Jesus, but the act of saving Israel from Egypt. That's what they were thinking about, that great act of going through the Red Sea and being released from slavery. But of course, the New Testament believer asks, the greatest act of salvation God has done is the sending of his son Jesus to die for us, saving us from our sins, rescuing us from a pit that we couldn't get out of. A darkness that we were trapped in, bondage to sin, that Jesus died in our place for our sins and rose again, and we are therefore saved. So we praise God for what he's done, but we also praise him for who he is. Well, what's God like? How would we describe him to somebody else? What's your God like? What's his characteristics? What about God is praiseworthy? Well, of course, everything about God is praiseworthy. He's loving, he's kind, he's gentle, he's patient, he's full of grace and mercy to sinners, he doesn't change, he's just, and he punishes sin. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's with us always. He keeps his promises, therefore he's faithful. God is praiseworthy. Now, we know what God's like because we read it in the Bible about his character, but we experience it in life as well, don't we, as we see him in our lives and answering our prayers. Well, God deserves our praise because of what he has done and for who he is, his act of creation, salvation, and because his character. And notice none of this is bound in the circumstances of life, which actually means if things are going belly up and bad for you, you've got a bad diagnosis, conflict is happening, things are rotten for you, then God is still worthy of praise because he hasn't changed. He's still made all things. He's still sent his son, Jesus. He's still patient, loving, kind, full of mercy. And so whether we're snowed under at work or stressed, whatever's going on for us, God still deserves our praise as we learn to praise him. There's probably no better example of this in the Bible than Job. Remember Job, who had, you know, everything. He was blessed. He had great wealth, great family, and then at what seemed like in one day, it was all taken from him. He lost the lot. He lost his sons, his daughters, his servants, his livestock. And this is how he responded, Job 1. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Now there's a more godly man than what I am. A man who learnt to praise God no matter the circumstances. Whatever's going on for you right now, praise God in that moment, in the good and in the bad. So what must we praise God for? Well, everything, for what he's done and for who he is. And if praise is not coming easily to your lips, your well is dry, then just pause and think about who he is and what he's done for you, and that will loosen your tongue. So we've asked the question, where must we praise the Lord and for what must we praise him? Then third, the psalm asks or answers the question, how must we praise the Lord? Verses 3-5. It says, "Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre, praise him with the timbrel and dancing, praise him with the strings and pipe, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals." So quite obviously, how should we praise the Lord? Music, singing, dancing, But it's an interesting list of instruments here. These are not the instruments you would have at the temple. These are not the instruments that you would have on your stage at church. There's no keyboards, strings, drums here. This is kind of this eclectic group of instruments that would actually be quite hard to sing to if you brought them to church. And perhaps that's the point. Whatever you have, praise the Lord with that. Whatever you've got, praise the Lord with that you've got. Have you got an angelic voice? Praise the Lord with that. If you're tone deaf and can't do anything in tune, praise the Lord with that. If you can play the electric guitar like nobody else, praise the Lord with that. But if you've got a tin can and a stick, praise the Lord with that. Praise the Lord with your chainsaw or the grand piano. Whatever you've got, praise the Lord. Last week, there was a guy visiting church from Queensland who's doing the lap around Australia, and he was telling me that 5 years ago he was saved and just loved the Lord, and he wanted to be able to talk to people about God, and so he put a massive sign on the back of his caravan that says, Jesus saves. He thought, well, I want to tell people Jesus saves, and I want to get into conversations about that. So whatever you've got, use it to praise the Lord. He had a caravan and he had a story and he wanted to share that. So what's God given you? What's God given us that we can praise the Lord with? Well, finally, the psalm answers the question, who must praise the Lord? Verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Well, we've kind of named every imaginable musical instrument, and now the one that pleases the Lord the most is added to the list. The human voice. The human voice, all that have breath are to praise the Lord. And of course, we go straight back to the Garden of Eden here, don't we? As we think about God making this first man, Adam, and breathing his breath into him and giving him life. And if you're alive, which you all look like you are, even awake, that's good, then the breath of God is in you. We know it's the oxygen going through our lungs, but it's God's breath. And we couldn't breathe one more time without him allowing it. The breath in our lungs comes from him. And how are we to use that breath? In praising the Lord. We're to praise him very much with the breath that is in our lungs, all the way to our final breath, when we breathe no more. And then even after that, we will praise the Lord for all eternity. I love the story that happened at Palm Sunday when Jesus is riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. This is what happens. It says, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. What a great picture of the praiseworthiness of Jesus, that if we don't join the song and praise him, then even the rocks will praise him. All creation praises him. The mountains in their grandeur, the trees, the vastness of the ocean. And we who have breath in our lungs are to join the animals, the kids, the men, the women in praise of our Lord. So who's meant to praise the Lord? Everyone who's got breath in their lungs. That's the only prerequisite, actually. As long as you've still got breath in your lungs, then praise the Lord. Well, for 5 weeks now, we've been going through this call of hallelujah. We must praise the Lord. We must praise the Lord. As individuals, as the gathered people of God, all of heaven and all of earth, even amongst the enemies, but this final time, 13 times, praise the Lord. We must praise the Lord. Where? Everywhere. Anywhere that you are. For what? For all that he's done and all that he is. How? Everything we've got. Who? Everyone that has breath. Now, if you're here today and this all seems a bit foreign and strange. Like, why would you praise the Lord? Maybe you aren't following Jesus. Maybe you've never entered into a relationship with God and just seen how great and praiseworthy He is. And can I invite you to come to the cross of Jesus and be saved? To confess that you're a sinner who needs to be forgiven. And that can happen for you today, and you can join the chorus of those who are praising God with all their lives. We'd love to talk to you about that if that's you today. But if you are a follower of Jesus, I'd like to invite you into a year of giving praise to God and growing in your praise, maybe taking a step or two forward in your praise for God. What could that mean for you? I've got sort of three suggestions here. Maybe it's that you do love coming to church and praising God on the weekend, but on the Mondays to Fridays, your life's quite devoid of praise. Praise doesn't come on your lips, except for when you gather with God's people. And maybe you could spend some time each day in praise for God, just joining in your prayer time. Just think about who is God and what He has done, and spend some time in praise for Him each day as you pray to Him. Perhaps your area of growth is when you come with the people, that you need to learn to grow and praise Him more together. Perhaps if we put a candle in front of your mouth during the singing at church, your voice would be so weak as not to move that flame. And maybe your area of growth is to add gusto and enthusiasm and smiling and joy to your worship and praise as we do that together. Maybe your area of growth is to be able to praise God in all circumstances, in the good and in the bad, in the easy and in the hard, and learn to praise Him when things are really not going well, when you're in pain, when you're suffering, when you're sick, when you've got loss, learning to praise Him then. Well, I probably need to grow in all three of those. I'm not sure about you, but let's seek to grow together as people who praise the Lord. I'll give you a moment now to pray to God and respond to what He's been saying to you, and then I'll pray for you as the musos come. Father, there's a saying that says we praise that which we love, so help us to love You more. Help us to fall more in love with You. Help us to see just the incredible love You have for us in Jesus. May that capture our hearts and our minds and our tongues as we praise You, both as we join together in song, as we talk about You with others, both believers and unbelievers, and as we pray in private. May praise fall out of our mouth. Lord, so help us to grow in this in Your great delight. In Jesus' name, amen.